I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
And now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Wing.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe podcast. Podcast number 58, Agent Carter, Season 1, Episode 4, The Blitzkrieg Button. This podcast is recorded on Wednesday, January 28th, 2015. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the general Marvel Comic Universe.
Because nobody can resist the urge to push a mystery button.
If you'd like to talk to us about pushing mystery buttons, you can contact us at our website, legendsofshield.com, our voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1, that's 844-843-2871. You can find us on our Facebook, our Twitter, and our Tumblr, all Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., our YouTube, also Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or contact us on our forums, forums.gunnageek.com, or search Gunna Geek on Tapitalk.
And as we mentioned last podcast, and just to hit you guys again, the first 13 episodes of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. can now be found at legendsofshield.com. Just scroll to the first 13 posts. You can pick them up. Just a general warning, they are explicit, and we try to keep a clean cast on. So join Wing, Operator, and Beef as they discuss the beginning of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the website.
And I called their other cast about mystery buttons, and I didn't get an answer. Can you guys help me?
Mystery buttons?
When you find one, there's only one thing to do. Push it.
Okay.
Just watch what happens.
Yep.
Also, until February 2nd, nominations are out for podcast awards. We encourage you to go head over there and nominate all your favorite Gunna Geek podcasts for the awards so we can get the word out about the great content we can deliver to everybody. So this week, we have Haley and Wing back with us. So welcome back.
Woot. With like 90% less plague.
Yay! But before we get to Agent Carter, I would like to personally thank Lauren, because I was in the middle of Elektra when the call came in that we're not recording, so I could stop it before it ends. So I would really like to thank you for that.
It wasn't that bad,
man. It's not
man.
That bad. Jeez.
Yes, it is.
It is not that bad.
Even I have to admit, it's not that bad.
It was pretty good.
Listen, in the last week, I've watched Overboard and Captain Ron, and that was worse.
No, it wasn't.
Dude, you brought that plague on yourself.
I know.
So I've been listening to this bad movie podcast called We Hate Movies.
Yeah.
And I've been going back and listening to them talking about some movies that, you know, I haven't seen in years, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, which I loved as a kid. And they're talking about it, and I'm like, I don't remember this plot point at all.
And then you watch it again, and it's so
bad. I'm like,
bad.
What the hell am I thinking? So, yeah.
Yeah, that happened. The day you decide, guys, that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle is something you need to cover, tell me so I can run.
No, oh my god, we do need to talk to Ninja Turtles, because the accident that we're created in is supposed to be the same one that Daredevil and Jessica Jones were created in.
Exactly, so it's canon, guys.
It is.
It's all connected.
Different universe.
I'm not quite sure when we're ever going to get a week to do that now, but
I don't know, sometime in the summer.
I don't know. There's a lot to cover in the summer. A couple of movies, a couple of Netflix series. We're pretty booked.
We can double up.
That's true. There's going to be like a bunch of 13 episodes from... Oh, no, there's only Daredevil out by this summer. Jessica Jones not going to be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they don't have a release date for it yet. But we can do all of Daredevil in one day. It'll be fine. We'll do like a 20-hour cast. It'll be fun.
We discussed this before.
I think we should do that. And we should do that for some kind of charity or something, like for the kids.
That would be cool.
Like for Extra Life or something.
No, or for like Haley's computer fund.
Like I said, let's do it for the kids.
Charity, guys.
If you want to donate to Haley's Computer Fund.
Yeah, Haley's the youngin. That counts, right?
Go ahead and email StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com. I'll make sure she gets the money. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Don't do that, guys. Haley@GunnaGeek.com.
Send gold. Send gold.
Gold or cash, whatever.
It's kind of heavy. All right. We did see an episode of Agent Carter, the Blitzkrieg button. And Haley, what's your initial impression?
Can nobody like not push the mystery buttons? Because there were two times in this episode where they're like, oh, this thing's got a switch. I don't know what it does. Let me flip it. Whoops.
What about the guys with the flame coming out of their arms?
That was great. I was laughing so hard.
Green flag. Blue flame. Oh, no,
the fact that the flame changed color was kind of nice.
It was great.
Do you remember how I used to wear glasses?
Oh, my God.
At first, I was like, oh, my God, he pressed something and now he can see? No, that wasn't it at all.
No, it just melted his glasses.
And he kept pressing it. I'm like, dude, come on.
All it seems to do is send a shock up my arm every time I press it. Quit pressing it.
Yeah, you're going to get like horrible, horrible tumors or something. This is not good.
Man is curious. Give him a chance.
Yeah, curious people don't last long in the Marvel Universe with dealing with Stark tech.
Except if you're Tony Stark.
Well, who happens to have a wicked arm when it comes to pool balls.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, Howard Stark can apparently, he's like a hobbit or something. Like, he just has this ability to throw things. Or I guess maybe that would be more like a halfling in D&D.
Yeah.
I totally want that shipping container. I could put it in my garage. It'd be great.
Yeah, that's a new thing now that they build apartment or businesses.
Yeah, the pods.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he had that in the 40s. I mean, let's face it. The man was a visionary.
I bet you get terrible cell phone reception in those things, though.
Yes, yeah. You do.
I think that's the point.
Selfies. Everyone had to make a selfie joke with the
Does
pen.
Does that count as a selfie? Oh, wrong show. Sorry.
Yeah, the first 10 pictures, no, you didn't, yeah, those were just test pictures.
Teeny tiny porn.
He couldn't swap out the film before he gave it to her?
No. This film is expensive. It's a 24 shot. You use it all.
It's like the kind of film you would give to a tiny little mouse photographer.
Yes.
Oh, God, a mouse photographer.
You know what I kept thinking? He's talking about lens miniaturization. I'm looking at my cell phone going, you know.
See, he was ahead of his time.
Yeah, by about 80 years. So Jarvis has incredible negotiation skills.
Yes. I'm not going to pay you. Yes, you will. Well, I kind of have to now.
Okay, I'll pay you a little bit. I thought the ear tug was supposed to be a signal to Peggy to like come beat these guys up.
Me too.
See, I didn't notice the ear tug the first time. And the second time I saw it, I was like, does he have like an earpiece? Is Howard speaking in his ear?
I know. I was thinking of that. Like, wow, they miniaturized speakers back then. That's awesome. No.
I thought it meant there's mics in the car or something like that. But if that was just a tell like in poker, that's the worst tell I've ever seen.
Well, and they bring it up. I mean, Carter does tell him that never play poker at the end.
Well, yeah, it needs to be something obvious that the audience can pick it out.
Yeah, but I've seen Maverick and it was not that obvious.
Yeah, Maverick's a good film. Okay, yeah. Mr. Yeah. Mink, what's his relation to the Marvel Universe? Anybody know?
He is a werepanther.
What's that?
Well, on True Blood. On True Blood, he was a werepanther.
I was going to say, I did not know that about him.
Every time I saw him, it was like, wow, he's a Nazi werepanther. Okay.
Well, that works.
Yeah.
Now, was he the assassin of last episode, or is this somebody else?
That I don't know.
I think he was just introduced in this episode to make you think he was going to be the big bad, and then, you know, not so much.
Right. So, I mean, when he pulled up to Peggy's apartment, they showed a car that was similar to the one he was driving when he assassinated Agent, what's his name? I can't even remember
Krasinski.
Anymore. Krasinski. Yeah, thank you. The most important name is Agent anyway, right? So, okay. So, it was a car across the street. It wasn't his car. So, there's no direct connection.
Right.
All right. Peggy can do 107 one-arm push-ups.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. One thing I'm going to gripe about the show, I'm really confused in the old mystery I'm supposed to follow at this point. At this point, I'm still like, there's a typewriter. And something's going to come off of that typewriter.
The typewriter is coming in. I meant to bring this up last week, and I completely forgot. So right after, remember Dottie the ballerina from Iowa.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we will talk about her more shortly. So on Tumblr the next day, somebody pointed out, oh, as soon as I saw this, the first thing I thought was the Red Room, which is the organization that trained Black Widow.
Yep.
And what they do is they get these little girls and they train them. And one of the things they train them in is ballet. And this is like this whole, seriously, just read the Black Widow comics. They're pretty great. So, of course, everyone's like, oh, my God, what if I know that ballerina is code for Red Room Assassin? And then what if she ends up being like Yelena Belova, who's kind of a dark Black Widow sort of.
Okay.
Blacker Widow.
Yeah, she's blonde and anyway.
Blonder Widow?
And then that would tie in with all these Russia tie-ins that they're having. Somebody pointed out that at the time that this is taking place, this is also the same time period where in our real world, the OSI was turning into the, I forget if it's the FBI or the CIA. I think the CIA.
Yes, it's the CIA. There's a great movie called The Good Shepherd with Matt Damon, if you want more about that story. It's great.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
I kept Damon. Thinking it was from something beyond Team America, but no, I guess nope. It's no, from that's, Team
that's
America.
It.
Okay.
That's it.
Yep. Matt Damon.
Apparently the puppet was originally supposed to have lines, but it looked so goofy that they were just like, nope, that's all he says. He's Hodor now. So, yeah. So we were theorizing that on Tumblr, and I meant to bring it up last week, but I got distracted. And then this episode happened.
Yep.
And all this stuff is tying in with Russia and the Red Room and probably Bucky and very definitely the program that created Black Widow. And it's all connected.
She wants it.
Luke Cage!
Okay. So, yeah, Dottie was great. There was actually a news article, which we'll talk about later, or I guess we can talk about it now. Marvel actually came out and officially announced that she is from the Black Widow program. Now, they didn't give any further details, but Marvel said that Dottie was a Black Widow program type.
Well, yeah, I mean, all you got to do is see she takes down the guy with her thighs, and you know.
Oh, James yeah. Bond style.
Oh, it was...
On the top.
Oh, she whipped those legs around. That was awesome.
On the top.
But okay, talking about how Mink got in there, Mrs. Fry, she's not exactly the fortress that one once thought she was.
Yeah, I was really, really let down. I mean, if Howard Stark can stay there for days before she...
and hit up every single woman on Peggy's floor.
He is yeah. not being subtle about this at all.
See, I get the feeling that she like catches like one person a week, but every girl has somebody up there every yeah. night.
Howard Stark is just penetrating his way around this impenetrable fortress.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Nice pun. We're so banned in China now.
We're banned in 15 countries.
Oh, that's true.
Uh-huh. Okay,
the rebels.
Battle of Finnau. I got the sense that that has something to do with our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. arc that we got going on with Mr. Hyde and stuff, but maybe I'm completely wrong. What do you guys think?
You're probably completely wrong.
I think so it's completely separate, yeah.
I think it's separate. I'm trying to think what it could be that would tie into like the Soviet Marvel stuff. I don't think it's Bucky yet. I don't think it's Winter Soldier.
No, Bucky was a Nazi.
Yeah. I don't think it's Red Room, but it has to be something that ties into, because they said it wasn't a German thing that did it.
Right.
So was it an alien? Was it?
It's Hydra.
Yeah. Was it Hydra? Was it?
It's Leviathan.
Leviathan, which is presumably Russian Hydra.
Like some sort of weapons test or something?
Yeah, was it a weapons test? Was it Omega Red? I don't know.
Oh, that would be great, but I think they're going
to
keep that.
I don't think they have the rights to Omega Red, but...
Yeah, I think he's probably in Fox, like, Fox's yeah. pockets.
He's an Iron Man villain.
I thought he was kind of a Wolverine.
Yeah, I always associate him more with Wolverine, but...
Yeah, because we've seen him more in the X-Men, but I think
he might have originally been an Iron Man villain. Yeah, now that you think
maybe
about it.
Maybe fall under the Quicksilver clause. Oh, I don't know.
So Adam brought up a good thing in chat. He said, didn't they imply that he, meaning Howard Stark, interacted with the landlady at some point in the past? I got that vibe too.
Oh, I'm sure he's been kicked out of the Griffin before.
Yeah, he recognized the Griffith before and he's like, how is Miriam? So yeah, I think he has been the cause for at least one girl's being thrown out.
One girl losing her, how did they call that? She makes me laugh so much. Her purity.
I was going to say V-card, but that's not it. Right,
defending right. Young women from compulsions.
Yeah, here you go.
Yeah.
Yes, young women cannot have compulsions. No. We can't have that.
Which, by the way, when I was live tweeting, I wanted to say, yeah, people actually used to think like this. And then I remember, people still think like this, yes. Yeah, when I was dating my husband, I wanted to come visit him. And my dad refused to let me because he had to protect my virtue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yes.
I am not even lying about the wording of the way he put it.
Your virtue. Okay.
He had to protect my virtue.
Yeah, my son's dealing with a similar issue with his girlfriend in spring break right now. So we'll see what happens, even though he'd be going off to his grandparents' house. So
he's a virtuous boy?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to.
I'll pretend he is. We'll leave it at that. Okay, so Sousa and Thompson, they're building this up, and we've talked about it before. The similarities between Thompson and Grant Ward are just, it's too much for me.
Thompson's a dick.
He is, but I think he's still a good guy, and I think Sousa's a bad guy.
I don't think so at all. Thompson's just a horrible person. Like, first of all, he's manipulative.
Yes.
And he's just, oh, God, I just want to hit him.
I know. He's so smarmy. Ugh.
Yes, granted, he's a terrible human being or whatever, but I don't think he's working for Leviathan or Hydra or whatever.
I don't either.
I think Sousa is.
I don't think he's working for them. I just think he's just
sleazy.
Yes.
Sleazy, petty. He's just typical of that time period and also a jackass.
Adam brought up he can be a horrible person, but he can still be a good guy. Just look at Tony Stark.
I don't think Tony Stark was that horrible of a person.
Yeah, he wasn't portrayed as that horrible person.
Tony Stark is just completely oblivious to consequences.
Yes, Tony Stark is oblivious to consequences. This guy is a jackass.
Yes.
This guy is a jackass.
Okay, let me give you a quote from this guy.
Okay.
You're a woman. No man will ever consider you an equal. It's sad, but it doesn't make it any less true.
And see, you could, if you were being generous, if you took this quote completely out of context, be like, he's sympathizing. No.
No, that's just what he thinks.
He's just saying, yeah, you got to face the facts. This is what's happened. It's sad. Go get me lunch.
I know. I kind of thought she was, Adam says, I expected Peggy to say one man did. I thought she was going to say Steve Rogers considered me an equal.
Yeah.
Well, everybody need lunch.
And then punch him in the face.
That guy can get his own damn lunch.
Man, that was a great right hook. I'm guessing that's one of the times that she actually hit somebody.
Possibly.
That'd be great. So Dottie likes pickles.
That is such a dorm room thing.
Oh, another thing I wanted to bring up with this scene. This is one of those things that like you think about and you're like, oh, wow, this is actually brilliant writing. These women all grew up during the Great Depression.
Yeah.
So
they hoard food.
Of course they all have chicken pockets and stuff like that. Of course they hoard food.
Yep.
If you notice this, it's like the generation that grew up at the Great Depression right now, they're all like elderly. And if you go and you ask people, a lot of their caretakers and stuff will have stories about like, yeah, I found my mom or dad like hoarding stuff again. They don't throw out expired food, things like that, because they grew up at this time where there was like such food insecurity.
Right. So my grandparents, they owned a farm and they moved out of the farmhouse into another house and then they retired and then we had to move them out eventually. And when we were cleaning out their house, we didn't find anything that they were hoarding. But what we did find was the ration stamps. And when I say ration stamps, I mean for everything, for rubber, for fabric, for meat, for gas. It was everything. They actually kept the ration stamps. And when you went to go buy something, you had to provide proof of these stamps. Otherwise, they wouldn't give you it. So there really was shortages during that time, both during the Depression and World War II.
No, yeah. It's one of the reasons why like women's fashion changed. You couldn't wear corsets anymore, I think, back during the First World War because they needed the materials used for the boning for other stuff.
Yeah, that's also when the hemlines went up to about the knee because they needed that extra 2 feet of fabric.
And then in World War II, with the nylons, that's when that stopped being such a big deal because you couldn't buy nylon pantyhose because they needed it for like rope and parachutes.
Yeah.
And that's really too bad.
Well, I mean, they talked about it in Captain America.
Did you really want nylon pantyhose, Wing?
Yeah, we can get you a pair.
Yeah, they're easy to find now.
I'm so sexy in them. You have no idea. You should see
guys
that.
Guys do tend to have great legs. I'm not going to lie.
I know. When I shave my leg, you would jump on me. You have no idea. I'm actually not shaving my leg. It's for you.
Thank you, Wing.
Alrighty. In any event, when I saw that scene, I didn't necessarily take it in terms of the shortage, although that is obviously one of the big things. But another thing was they're living in a dorm, as Haley said, they're kind of living in a dorm-like thing. They have the one meal, and if they want lunch or whatever, they have to...
Or midnight snacking or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I took from that is they don't have refrigerators.
That
yeah.
too.
But I remember living in the dorms, and the most common meal plan everyone had was like... 20 swipes a week or something, like, but it was like a couple meals less than you'd want to get. Plus, not every time you go for a meal are they going to have the fresh baked cookies out.
Yeah.
So you dump the entire tray of fresh baked cookies into your backpack and you fill up an empty 2 liter bottle from the fountains. And, you know, you take that back to your dorm room.
See, now what you needed to do was join a group of people where a lot of freshmen would join. And the new freshmen would always get the food plans that had too much food. And so they would realize this about 2 weeks, 3 weeks into the semester. So they'd start giving away some of the extra meals so that they wouldn't be wasting it. So you just hang around long enough and you could get free meals just left and right as long as you were nice to people. I yeah. loved being in that group so much. I got so many free calzones.
Okay. In the past year, I've seen a big jelly bean cigar case and a watch with Tic Tacs in it.
I was hoping that the whole time he was talking to him, I was like, if he actually gives him cyanide pills, I'm going to punch somebody. Please, please be Tic Tacs, especially because it felt particularly disrespectful if he actually helped him out. Since, by the way, yesterday, the 27th was International Holocaust Remembrance Day.
The 70th anniversary of
The liberation of Auschwitz.
Thank you. Oh, liberation of Auschwitz, yes. And seeing some of those guys who were there as teenagers, it was very emotional. And I know a lot of comics have their lore in World War II, and that is real world. And my heart goes out to all the millions of people that were taken.
Yeah. But no, he didn't help out the Nazi. Breath mint so he could die with fresh breath.
He's two feet longer, and that's what he said.
2 inches.
Couple inches.
2 feet would be impressive.
That would be quite the stretch, yes.
I guess I was just thinking that. Okay, Steve Rogers' blood. Now, was taken before he went into the taco, right?
Right.
No, that's post-taco.
Yeah, no, you remember after the scene where he's chasing down Thor and Oakenshield?
Yeah.
Yeah, then they take a bunch of blood.
And they bring him back to the lab and they take a whole bunch of blood from him.
Oh, no, I didn't think. Okay, I didn't remember that. And I just saw the movie recently. I'm so sorry.
Put him into the taco.
Well, I mean, that's what it is. But taco shell, right?
It's human taco. Come on.
All right. So Peggy's mad at Jarvis. She's mad at Howard, but she's still.
She's always mad.
I don't know. She's kind of justified if she is.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks to be her.
Well, yeah. I don't know why Howard didn't bring up, though, that all that the government wants to do with it is make more super soldiers. Like, she's mad at him because he wants to make vaccines and stuff, and she's not thinking about what anybody else is going to do with it.
I think that if he had been honest with her in the first place, things might have gone better. But as it is now, she sees him as somebody who was just using her just like everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little bit what he was doing, too.
Exactly. Whereas instead it was because he wasn't sure that he could trust her because of who she works for. And yeah, it's just a big mess at this point. Something big's going to eventually happen to reunite them. But for right now, big old mess.
Yeah. Okay. So two things at the end. Sousa colors in the hair from the picture from the gala. Wayne, can you say that for me, please?
Gala.
Gala. There you go.
Gala.
I just like the way he says it. It's a nice say.
I say gala too.
It's a gala. It's not a gala. Gala is something really different.
Yeah. Who in their right mind says gala?
Everybody from Minnesota.
Don't you know?
Okay. Well, everybody from Minnesota is weird.
Yeah, well, true. Take a look at past governors and senators. So I say anymore.
Yeah, y'all hired a freaking the wrestler guy from Predator. So
he was the most effective governor that state's had in a long time.
He also has a show on conspiracies on True TV.
Hey, whatever pays the bills. Okay, and then also the typewriter is writing by itself. So I think we've got two major things going on there. What do you guys think?
It's a gala.
I think it's still, even if you color it in black, it's still the back of somebody's head. It's a horrible lead.
And that pencil was not doing a good job coloring it in either.
Agreed. It's not like putting the glasses on Superman. It's like having a back head a different color.
Right.
He's losing his time. Come on.
Like, I mean, is he going to start just checking out the butts of every woman he walks past to see if it matches up?
What, you don't?
He does that anyway, so.
Who doesn't do that? Yeah, I'm like, what's wrong with that?
We can't do that?
What I'm hoping is that he figures it out and ends up helping Peggy, because that would be cool.
Well, I think that's what they're building the character to do at this point. He's the only character that you feel for every episode.
See, I still feel like he might be Hydra.
Yep, I agree.
Well, that would be great misdirection, yes.
Y'all gonna owe me so many quarters.
Do you guys have anything else to say about the episode?
Red Room, y'all!
There's only 2 weeks left of this before we get the other show back, eh?
Another month.
No, there's like a month.
We got four more weeks. It's an eight.
Yeah, it's still January, dude.
It's an eight-hour event.
I thought it was six for some reason.
Nope.
Eight, no. Eight. Well, they whittled down to seven because they showed the first two the first week. So
yeah, so that they could do the State of the Union.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we are halfway through it, I'm kind of curious. Let's start with Ailey. You were really excited about this show before it started. Does it hold up to your expectation at this point?
Maybe not quite up to my expectations, because I really hate that Peggy's not running the show as much as she should be and is being disrespected at work.
Right.
Yeah.
But I really, really like it.
Lauren?
I am loving it. I adore seeing Peggy just using people's expectations against them by like, oh, you think this, so I'm just going to play this up. And yeah, in the meantime, I am spying the hell out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And the interplay with her and Jarvis is great.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently next week we're getting the Howling Commandos.
That'd be fun.
Just the little history nods, the little nods to the Marvel Universe, just everything. I love it.
Starpie?
Yeah, I think the show is finding its comic relief very well. I think they're going to have to play that up. And I think they're constrained, of course, by what they've already shown in the MCU and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for that matter. But it's all right for me. Not having a grounding in, as much as you guys anyway, in the comics, this is a little bit more freeform. So we'll see, but they are bound. So I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it about as much as I thought I would. So it's good so far. And I'm looking forward to it because it's gotten better, I think. And we're seeing a little bit more in the mystery and the story as it moves forward. And I think it's going to end with a bang and we'll hopefully get a little bit better next season, just like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got. So
I hope we get a next season.
I do too.
I agree it's getting better, but I'll be honest, the more we advance with this show, the more I can't wait to have my other show back. What they're doing is interesting, but for me, I don't think they have the time period well enough for me to get engaged, because I have the impression that this is still a show that could happen today. They just happened to put it in the past.
See, I don't think it could happen today.
I mean, the general of what's happening. It's,
yeah, exactly.
I feel like it's very much in its time period.
Yeah, because they have the rise of the Soviet Union. I mean, next week's episode is called The Iron Ceiling, which is a really good blend between, you know, the glass ceiling.
And the Iron Curtain.
And the Iron Curtain.
But I don't have the feeling that this thing is international whatsoever. I have the impression that I'm running around a couple of MacGuffin. That's it.
The two guys that have been villains so far are Russian spies, and we just found out that her neighbor is also a Russian spy.
I kind of get what Wing's saying, because I kind of felt it too from the very beginning when they were in the darkened train station. They're really doing their best to try to make it look like 1940s, but they really don't have, they don't have a whole town. They can't go to New York and it'd be like 1940s, because we're 70 years beyond that or whatever. So they're trying to be selective in doing it that way, but yet it doesn't give you a whole feel. So I get what Wing is saying there, but I also get what you ladies are saying in that they are making an effort to make it time period relevant.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what I'm saying. I understand that they don't have the budget to do what a movie could do, but it doesn't engage me in the time period like a, I'm going to give an example that has nothing to do with this, but just talking the time period like a Mad Men would do. I feel the time period like as this one, I don't know. I'm still struggling with it. So I hope the next episode, as you said, we're going to get there all in Commando and everything will help me feel more like I'm in the 40s post World War II.
I hope so. Even in Captain America, though, I didn't really feel like it was World War II. In rewatching it, it is definitely a comic adaptation of World War II, but I didn't really feel like it was World War II because I've seen all the time period specific World War II movies, or at least a lot of them. And that's the feel that I get. And I didn't get that with Captain America, which is what it was meant to be. So I'm not knocking it at all. It's just a different feel. So.
Neil is saying in the chat that the set looks like set, unfortunately. Yeah. So.
Unfortunately.
Well, yeah, it's done on an ABC budget.
Right.
I know. But when I see the quality of a show like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I have to compare it to this one. I know it's easier to do present time. I get that.
Well, unfortunately, you can't have the way TV shows run. You can't have a new episode every week for 52 weeks. So everybody has to have some time off. So this is a good filler. Otherwise, you would get nothing.
Agreed. This is a great filler. This is a great. If this show makes me miss the other show, that's great because they're creating rarity.
And unlike DC, there is no other, at least right now, Marvel comic television show on.
Yeah, DC had decided to take over.
Well, there is, but they're cartoons. So.
Right.
Fair enough. All right. Does anybody have anything more to say about?
Yeah, I've got a few more things.
Go ahead.
Okay. So you've got the goons from the warehouse talking to Mr. Mink. He brought a girl and five guys. Yeah, five or six. Yeah, so these six or seven other guys.
Didn't work out for him well either.
Not so much, no.
He was not at all. They brought a girl.
We got our Stan Lee cameo.
Yes, we got the Stan Lee cameo, which we haven't talked about yet. It was awesome because Stan Lee is awesome.
It was.
It's a Stan Lee cameo. It's now they have to have him sit down. He's that old.
He's like, I'm just sitting, guys. I'm just going to sit here.
You have Haley Atwell walking past him, and you've got Jarvis and Stark sitting next to him. So they're all right there, and it's great to be able to say I was in a scene with Stanley.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
And then we find out at the end of the episode that Howard Stark went to Finnau after the battle or massacre or whatever it was.
Right.
So that's something else that we need to learn about. Another mystery going forward.
Seriously, was it an alien? What was going on?
I don't know. Or was it like some... Maybe it was Vanko, and that's how he met Vanko, is he found out he did this.
Oh, wow. Okay, wow.
That's why Vanko was in prison in the start of Iron Man 2, when he died.
Well, no, because he worked with Stark first, and then he was secretly still working for the Soviets, or selling it on the black market, I don't remember.
Selling it on the black market, I thought.
Some of both.
Yeah, he was selling it to the black market, and then he went to prison after that.
He went to prison, or he was just deported? I thought he was just deported.
Yeah, but in Russia, he was in prison.
Yeah, I think he was just living in a hovel.
Right.
In Russia, not prison.
Yeah, I thought he was just living in a hovel. Like, it was his kid that went to prison.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's true.
But yeah, so at some point, Stark met Vanko. Maybe that's how he met him, is he was an inventor working for the Soviets.
Makes sense.
Oh my God. Okay. Yes. Yes, I like this. Because the Soviets did have those, like, weird, freaky science, like, villages and stuff at the time where they did all these, bizarre experiments, like sewing heads onto dogs and stuff. And that's why they make such great creepypasta.
Yeah.
There's a great video on YouTube about that dog, by the way.
Okay, Haley, what else you got?
Well, and then the last thing is Peggy has the vial of Steve's blood at the end of the episode.
Well, she puts it in the wall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which she shares with Dottie with Mr. Mink underneath her bed.
I mean, she's really going to have to get rid of that guy. You do not want a dead Nazi stinking up your bed.
No.
Right. Also, no men above the first floor. So.
Exactly. I mean, it's going to be really hard explaining that one.
Well, no, not really, because she caught the guy and she took him out. I mean, yay for her, right?
Yeah, that's what they're going to pin on her. Like, yeah, no man above the first floor. We don't care. He's
dead.
That's
why she got evicted. Pulse, no pulse, same response. No men above the first floor.
Yeah, it doesn't say no live men above the first floor. It says no men above the first floor.
Mrs. Fry does not discriminate.
Maybe they're going to keep him because she killed him. So they're going to be like, okay, you still have your virtue. You killed him.
Just Weekend at Bernie's him.
They'll put his head on a pike outside the wall.
Killing somebody, not important. Having sex, come on.
A weekend at Bernie's, Mr. Big.
If we have learned anything from American movies, it is that violence is much more acceptable than sex. So, yes.
Right.
Yeah, I've learned that from American media. Crazy, yeah?
Cray cray.
It's a weird country, guys.
Yep.
I don't live in it.
You're lost.
Yeah, but you live like, you're like our upstairs neighbor, so you have to put up with like our loud partying
that's
and stuff.
True, that's true.
Yeah. Well, it's okay because when it's snowing a lot down there, it's really warm here.
I was going to say that's a very apropos comment because on Sunday we have the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The what?
Party.
The biggest televised event in American year.
And I have to work.
Where you play fake football? Yes. Yes.
Yeah, where we play hand egg.
Yes, and egg. Here you go. I like that.
But it's the commercials which are all leaking out anyway, or intentionally released.
Right. And you can watch them all on YouTube on Monday.
Yeah.
That's right. Anything else, Haley? Are we getting close?
I think that's about it.
All right. So we got a little bit of news this week. First of all, we'll talk about ratings since we just finished our discussion on Agent Carter. What is that, Haley? Same day ratings there?
It's Life Plus Same Day, 4.6 million, which is down from last week by about 500,000.
But it's still pretty good, so.
Yeah, it's not a terrible number for this time of year when people aren't really planning to watch live TV.
Yeah.
Do you ever plan to watch live TV?
Well, not me, but
I do.
Weirdo.
I have Arrow sitting on the DVR right now.
Me too. So, talking about future shows and whatever, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had their new commercial trailer, whatever, for the new season. What'd you think about it, Lauren?
I liked it. I was like, oh yeah, this is coming back because I've been so, you know, Peggy Carter. So, I kind of forgot our purpose here. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was mostly focused on Sky.
Which is not that surprising.
Yeah, and her newfound powers. You see her in like their medical lab and they're like, can we trust her and stuff like that? So apparently at least the first few episodes back are going to focus on Skye's brand new powers and her issues.
It's a good thing that I think we need to have more information on that. So.
Yeah.
Don't fly angry. Don't fly angry. The bus.
But it did what it's supposed to do as a trailer, which is psych me up for the upcoming episodes.
Yeah. Yes. 4 weeks. Ooh. 4 weeks. Actually, five, right?
I can't count.
Okay. Also, until February 10th, this is not your normal T-Fury release. It's called a charity release. And until February 10th, T-Fury has released the Star-Lord versus Captain t-shirt for the Superhero Bowl or whatever they're calling it. And it's great. All the I don't know about the percentage, but proceeds from the sale will go directly to the two charities that Chris Evans and Chris Pratt have identified as part of their bet. I loved it. I bought a couple of t-shirts for household members here, and I encourage you to go out and do it. It is a great t-shirt, so worth having.
I wish I could get it by this weekend because we're allowed to wear NFL shirts for the weekend, and I would totally count this.
I would, too.
So, small football story. I went to a craft store earlier today, and I was looking to buy some fabric and stuff, and somebody called while I was getting the fabric cut. They're like, do we have Seahawks fabric? The person at the counter was like, no! This is Texas! Just so offended.
Oh, by the way, the Cowboys, most hated NFL team in the league, by the way. Just want to point that out.
Well, yeah. Because anybody that's not a Cowboys fan hates the Cowboys.
Yeah.
The Raiders are like that too, and the Patriots.
The Patriots are the NFL's second hated team.
Are the Raiders third? Because I know a lot of people that really hate the Raiders.
I don't know. I just know the difference between the Cowboys and the Patriots. So there you go.
I just want to say that here in Canada last weekend, because it was the All-Star game in the hockey, we had the right to wear the Montreal jersey at work. That was great.
Go Habs.
Go Habs go. Yes. Go Habs go. Hockey, a real sport. Come on.
Go North Stars. Yeah, I know. They don't exist anymore.
Did you see the completely off topic, but sort of still on topic, the Miss Canada outfit?
In Miss Universe pageant that was this weekend? Yeah.
Yes.
It was like, I don't know, some sort of bizarre hockey creation with like a ray of hockey sticks radiating out from behind her.
That was so weird.
It was.
There's nothing weird about hockey. It's awesome.
No, but they're like costumes that they do are so bizarre, just always. Like last year, Miss USA was dressed up as, I guess, like Optimus Prime or something.
Oh, I didn't see that. I so need to find that.
Just look for it. It's bizarre. I'll link you after the show. It's wow.
Awesome.
Okay, just chicken wow. Cosplay? Yes, please send that. Please.
It's not technically Optimus Prime, but you're like, what the hell is going on here?
It's Optimus Prime?
Could have been Rodimus. Could have been Rodimus.
I was making it's a just... Shrimpet. Whatever.
Okay, Wing. You have something to tell us about Mr. Reed, is that correct?
I need a Sean scream because I'm really, 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 really happy with that.
I think you might be the only one.
Yes, I know. But the new Fantastic Four trailer just hit. And of all the superhero trailer that I've seen in the last 2 years, this is the first one that looks different.
See, I saw this and I was like, I still don't care about this movie.
It looked like a movie and not a superhero movie, which I'm all in. Because right now, I love what Marvel's doing. And I know this is a Marvel cast and I'm 8mail is Nightwing at GunnaGeek.com. But right now, what Marvel is doing is that they're reusing their formula. So overall, I found they're doing the same movie a lot. I mean, if you look at Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor 2, the main villain story plot is the same. It's the exact same story. It's like, don't get the rock on the planet because the planet's going to explode. Okay, so to have something like that that looks like human felt, that looks a little bit more like a horror movie instead of a superhero action movie, I'm all in. Is this different than the expectation that everybody had? Yes. Is different a good thing? Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I got to agree with, I guess it was Peter David, who is an occasional Marvel writer, occasional DC writer too, but anyway, who said that if he hadn't already have known that it was the Fantastic Four trailer, that from seeing that trailer, he wouldn't have known what it was.
Okay, and yes. What's the problem with that? They're defying expectation.
They're doing a good job of distancing themselves from the previous Fantastic Four movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I watched that trailer and I didn't know what to expect if I go and watch that movie in a theater. And it didn't get me excited about it, which is what a trailer should do.
I think the purpose of this trailer was
intrigued.
Get everybody to cool down and about thinking that this movie will never get released. And I think, again, this trailer did a really good job to give you the tone of what the movie is going to be. Which, once again, looks like a very...
Turned off the lights.
Very, very different tone than everything else that used to.
A bad movie would be very different than what we've seen. That doesn't necessarily make it a good thing.
No, we've got two bad movies. That would not be different.
Have you seen the mashup with that and Interstellar?
No.
Yeah.
Somebody took the Fantastic Four, the new Fantastic Four trailer, and put the audio of the trailer for Interstellar on it. And apparently it goes pretty well together.
Oh yeah, it worked pretty well. But that's my point, is that it feels more as a thriller, like an Interstellar, than another Marvel movie. And at this point where we have so many superhero movie coming out every year, first of all, that's ballsy and that's a good move to try to detach yourself to all the other ones. But to make sure that you remember it's a superhero movie, this started with from the studio that brought you X-Men Days of Future Past. I was like, okay, that's now it's clear. One of the interesting things that came out with this trailer, though, it's that Josh Trank did a trailer commentary on Yahoo, which is pretty interesting. And one of the things that he mentioned is that he was not interested to do an action sci-fi movie. He wanted to do a horror movie, more based on what he did with Chronicle before than based on anything else that Marvel has done before. And when I look at what I got as a trailer, I would say the tone seems to be achieved.
Yeah, okay, a couple of things on this Fantastic Four trailer and the commentary. So first of all, thanks to Haley, I have gone back and read the first comic, which was the origin of the Fantastic Four. And
which is not the best comic.
No,
it's
not.
You guys know that Marvel is rebooting, so you don't have to do that anymore.
Right, right.
We get to do it.
Yeah, but you understand that you can just start at Civil War this summer and it's like you start at number one. Imagine you have like 50 years already read for you.
No, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, we did talk about that last week, Wing, but we did bring up the fact that Haley still thinks it's good to start with 1963 and move on because all the backstory and the richness of that will be carried forward.
Yeah, way to walk all over my point. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Anytime. So,
but I did bring up, and Lauren agreed with me, that it's daunting and that having a starting point is good. Right, Lauren?
Yes.
Okay. So, okay, back to the Fantastic Four trailer. A couple of things. First of all, I did read the first comic, which, yes, not exactly the best one. But from what I got from the trailer, even though it's based on pretty much another origin of Fantastic Four, I did see elements of the origin of the Fantastic Four in there, so that's good with the spaceship and everything else.
Yeah, but if you read Ultimate Fantastic Four, it's almost shot for shot.
Well, okay, got that. The other thing, though, is the Chronicle piece and the Teen Angst piece and everything, that part does not have me excited one bit. Kind of tired of the Teen Angst movies, but that's just me. Maybe I'm just getting old and fuddy-duddy.
That's what I was about to say. You're not in the age range.
Well, you just used the word fuddy-duddy, so.
There you go.
So the question is, do you nuke the fridge or do you jump the shark?
Jump the shark.
I nuke the fridge.
Yeah, because usually when you're younger, you nuke the fridge.
Yeah.
Saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sharks are cool.
Yeah, but that was in the 70s.
With laser beams on top of their head.
Yeah, but I grew up watching Happy Days.
Oh, God. Okay.
The intro just popped into my head. Yeah, great. Thanks.
I remember my sister was, we got home, she's like, there's new episodes of Happy Days on. My mom and dad just stared at her and they're like, you realize that show ended like 20 years before you were born. She got so mad.
For me, Funzie is the actor in Scream. He's the principal in Scream.
Yeah. Yeah. He's also the lawyer in
Arrested Development.
Arrested Development.
Oh, that's true. He is.
He's a doctor on
And he actually
Parks
jumped over a shark. Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah, the OBGYN in Parks and Rec. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
John Ralphio's dad.
The costume in the Fantastic Four trailer are interesting, though.
True.
This is different take.
All right. So, Fantastic Four, we got our trailer out. We'll see what we actually get when, I guess we'll get another trailer at some point in time, because the movie comes out in the Guardians of the Galaxy time frame.
Yeah, we'll probably get a trailer, I would say.
This summer, there'll probably be another one.
Yeah, just like after Age of Ultron, probably. I would say after the Star Wars trailer, they're going to hit us with another.
Okay, this is a Fox movie.
Yeah.
So what's the next big Fox thing this year?
I don't know. Wing?
They don't have an X-Men this year.
Nope.
No, they don't.
No, but what else do they have coming out?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Fox did good. Actually, Fox last year won the box office battle by having a bunch of small movie.
Yeah. So. Is Mockingjay Fox?
No, it's not. It's Lionsgate. But yeah, so probably they're going to do the same thing again this year. But what I want to remember people before everybody goes to battle the new Fantastic Four is remember that Fox does really good job with the X-Men franchise at this point. They rebooted that franchise really well.
Except that one time. Well, that two times.
Except those two times. But since then, they got it back and they did like three fairly good movies in a row.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good in the movie universe, absolutely. But the question is, how can they do in the television universe?
That's a good question, because X-Men's going to TV.
Yeah. So negotiations are underway to develop an X-Men series, which I am so looking forward to because I was a huge fan of X-Men, the animated series. I was a huge fan of X-Men Evolution. I was a huge fan of...
Don't say Generation X. Don't say Generation X.
I watched the pilot. It was bizarre, but yeah, I had fun watching it.
I don't even remember hearing about Generation X.
Oh, because it was really bad.
Wolverine and the... It was terrible. Okay. Wolverine and the X-Men was a fun show, too. It's on YouTube. Yeah. Look for it on YouTube.
Yeah, you can find it in a con beside the Star Wars Christmas special.
But yeah, there is a slight complication. While sister production company 20th Century Fox controls the film rights, the comic itself is owned by Marvel, which is based at rival Disney. So that's why they're negotiating. So we'll see what happens. I think it would be great. And they have like the money to actually do better effects than they did with Generation X.
Generation X was awful.
Do you think they could use this as a bargaining chip to regain something, maybe Fantastic Four or something? I don't know.
If they could gain the word mutant.
Not right now, because they're trying to make money off of Fantastic Four right now.
Okay.
Like, what they really want is some of the villains that are tied into Fantastic Four, but I don't know if Fox would even be willing to give those up.
Right. It's all going to be a quid pro quo, though, so we'll see. Unfortunately, Spidey's not in this one, so, because that's Sony.
That's my point. We've been bitching about Sony to give Spidey back, but nobody says anything about the X-Men.
Well, because they're making way too much money on X-Men to give it up right now.
Yeah, because they've actually done, like you said, a decent job at handling X-Men. Maybe not great, but decent.
The last two movies were great.
Yeah. They were fun.
I'll have to admit it. They were great.
And the rogue cut of Days of Future Past is coming out in April, so I can finally get it then.
I know. I've been waiting for that.
I've been waiting too.
I have a friend that has a major role in that cut, which when he saw the movie, he was pissed. He was like, they cut everything I'm in it.
Aww.
But now he's pretty happy because they called him back for Apocalypse. So he was like, oh, my character is not dead in the end.
Which character? Can you say?
Yeah, he plays a scientist that was in Wolverine and that was in the future of X-Men, Days of Future Past.
Oh, hey.
Cool. We'll be looking out for that.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, my character is not dead because it never showed the scene. But yeah, wait for it.
Well, you know what else is looking good besides your friend?
Peggy Mother Peeping Carter.
What's going on with that, Haley?
It's a gift set. 17 times Agent Peggy Carter's outfits were so good it actually hurt.
Okay, I got to check out these outfits.
Wow.
And the first one is the one with her in the blue outfit and the red hat walking through the sea of gray guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where she looks awesome. And then there's a bunch of other pictures of her looking awesome.
Just sporting time period. We were talking about it earlier in the cast. Just sporting time period outfits and just looking good doing it.
I love when, for picture number four, it's her in the blonde wig in the evening wear at that club. And I love, there was somebody on Twitter who was like, there was no special lighting involved. Hayley Atwell just naturally glows.
She naturally looks good.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the very next one is her in the science outfit making the funniest face.
Oh, is that the dairy inspection
yes.
outfit?
The dairy inspection. Yes.
It's great. Nobody can make Dairy Inspection look as good as Hayley Atwell. That's awesome.
That is actually true.
Yep. So go check out this article and see all the great pictures.
Yeah. And make sure the last one on the list, number 17, because even during a war with an actual explosion behind her, she looks immaculate. And it's from Captain America.
Yeah, that was a good picture.
It's her shooting at Thorn Oakenshield.
So we also have some news from a friend of a friend of a friend of the cast, basically. About David Tennant and Jessica Jones.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I flipped out when I saw this. David Tennant is joining the cast of AKA Jessica Jones. He's going to be playing the bad guy.
He's
going to
be playing Purple Man.
Yes. So right now they're just calling him Kilgrave because Purple Man is a stupid, stupid name.
Yeah.
Yeah. For anybody who's read the Alias comics, and once again, that's Alias by Brian Michael Bendis, not Alias, the TV show. Purple Man is terrible.
He's awful.
Yeah, he's basically a rapist, and he is the one who is responsible for the end of her career, because he kind of hijacked her mind for like a year, and it was bad. And I am so looking forward to seeing David Tennant be as like terrifying as possible. Because previously, okay, Purple Man has been seen on the screen before. He was on, I think, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, voiced by Brent Spiner.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, and it was pretty creepy. But I think seeing him, like, physically done, and I feel like David Tennant could seriously do creepy well.
Yes.
Right, and the Netflix shows have shown that they're willing to take risks that you wouldn't see on broadcast television.
Yeah, like House of Cards, for example.
Yeah. By the way, I've been watching the original version, BBC version of House of Cards on our friend Neil's recommendation.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been meaning to watch the British version.
Yeah, and it's probably as good as the American version. It's older. It's different aesthetic, of course, but it's so good. So good.
Yeah, I'm planning to watch it, I guess, after the third season of House of Cards on Netflix comes out.
But it's fun because there's only four episodes in a season and there's only four seasons. So you have like 16 episodes total and it does the whole arc.
How long are the episodes?
An hour.
Okay.
Okay, maybe I'll watch it sooner than I thought. I thought there was going to be like longer. Okay, no, I got to watch this now.
It's really, really, really good show. So that's my personal recommendation.
Talking about evil in the Marvel Universe, we also have some Doctor Strange news.
Well, evil.
I wouldn't say evil.
Yeah, what would you say?
What I would say is that Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Ooh. Congratulations.
Yes, is being eyed for a leading role in Doctor Strange. They're not saying who, but several sources have said that he's wanted for a villainous role, but some other people have said that he might be playing Wong, the monk servant to Doctor Strange who is adept in martial arts, or he could be the Ancient One. Or somebody's like, maybe he could be the bad guy, which I think I said before, but there's some rumors that the bad guy is going to be Baron Mordo.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll see.
Go with the classics. Was he the operative in Serenity?
Yes,
yeah, I think he was.
Okay, okay.
See, I will always remember him from Love Actually.
Oh my God.
He's the guy. He's not old enough to be the Ancient One.
Yeah, well.
Not exactly ancient, but okay.
Well, but maybe he's ancient, but looks young, like Doctor style.
I'd also say he's not Asian enough to be Wong, but I mean,
yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but you know, TV.
But yeah, I am all in favor of him joining the Marvel Universe because the guy's a great actor.
Hey, go figure. The people from Joss Whedon now are joining the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
What a surprise.
Go figure.
When is Nathan Fillion getting some Marvel money?
He was in Guardians of the Galaxy, remember?
Yeah, he got like $5 for getting Groot up his nose.
Yeah. And he says that he accepted this role because it was a CGI character, because he doesn't want to accept a lesser role than anything than an actual Marvel role. So I'm like, okay.
Maybe he'll be playing Adam Warlock.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
I have heard that rumor.
See, I heard it was Orlando Bloom, but hey, whatever.
Or they could get him for a voice like Groot.
Get him to do Cosmo.
They're going to reuse Vin Diesel. If they're still using it, the Black Bolt is going to be really funny, but they're still going to reuse Vin Diesel. They've said that before. So.
Right, right. And talking about other casting news in the Marvel Universe, I believe we talked about this before, but I think we have confirmation in the Civil War.
Right. We had heard that Daniel Brühl was going to be in the next Captain America movie, Civil War. And there were rumors and speculation as to who he might play, but it has been confirmed this week that he's going to be playing Zemo.
Zemo? Who's Zemo?
He, well, in the comics, he's the one that killed Bucky. But, yeah. You know, they've changed that a little bit,
just a bit.
In the movies.
There's it's one of my favorite things from back in the days before YouTube, and it's on YouTube now, but there is this guy, Floating Hands Animation. And there was one cartoon, it was the villain's dress, just making fun of their outfits. And the guy who, it was like the new Baron Zemo. He's like, how dare you make fun of my outfit? I based this on the man who killed Bucky.
Okay, so his
so
outfit.
So indignant.
He has a mask stuck to his head because he made a super adhesive glue and now he can't take off this purple hood.
Not kidding at all.
So he has been wearing a purple mask and a gold crown since World War II.
It looks like a sock.
It's hilarious.
It looks like he's wearing a pink sock.
And every once in a while, there will be a whole plot where he is trying to get somebody to get like a glue thinner to take the mask off his face.
Oh my God.
Oh, you'd think some point in time the skin would grow.
Yes.
And, you know, but.
No, it's like super sticky glue, guys.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So sticky.
Well,
but they say in this article that it's going to be some sort of anti-aging product instead of glue.
Yeah.
Oh, that could work.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. is about to need that for Iron Man because the way he's talking about it is not stopping. There was an article this week. He gave a couple of interviews. And one of this interview, they asked him what decided him to come back for Civil War. And they were like, well, if you come back, we're going to do this. But if you don't come back, we're going to have to do that. And at this point, what he's saying is that he sees this as a competition. That if they're trying to get the Iron Man franchise mixed with other stuff, that as long as it's director and people he respects, he's going to come along. So the man might be around 50, but I think we're going to have him as Iron Man for a couple of years.
That'd be nice. It would also be nice to see Pepper as Rescue eventually,
yeah.
Too.
Yes.
And yeah. I would much rather see them not have Iron Man anymore than have them recast it with somebody besides Robert Downey Jr.
I don't agree with that. I think they could find a good casting. It's just that right now we can't see it.
See, the only way I would do that is if they did like a legacy character. I don't want somebody to replace him.
Right.
Well, maybe it's going to work as well as the Hulk. I mean, they did replace an actor at this point and it worked well.
Yeah, but they replaced somebody who had done one movie.
Exactly.
It was so standalone. I know, Wing, that you love the Hulk. I know. And it's not bad. We all agree to that. But if there was one character you're going to replace in the entire Marvel MCU, the Hulk was a good choice. Dr. Banner was a good choice.
Right. And that's the good time to do it, is after one movie that isn't as closely tied. But replacing Iron Man after he's done four movies, five movies, and he's kind
all
of
the, movies.
The pillar of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that I don't think would work as well.
I agree with all of that, but since I've heard like Chris Pratt could do Indiana Jones, and I was like, yes, why not? I'm kind of sliding into the same position for Iron Man. Find the right man to do it, and that could be really interesting to have another actor to tackle the role.
Okay.
If they were doing it 20 years from now after rebooting the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I would say, yeah, it's, you know, somebody else. But to just 3 years later, the actor doesn't want to come back, so recast. I don't like that idea at all.
Well, I can understand where Wing's coming from. Yeah, I was just going to say, because Wing loves Bond, and it's worked for Bond for years. So, well, for some of the Bonds anyway.
The idea is to not try to do the same thing. The next actor needs to not try to be Robert Downey Jr. He needs to do his own take on the character. As long as they do that, an actor has a chance to survive in that role. If he's trying to do his best impression of Robert Downey Jr., forget that.
Well, I'll give you an example. It's not in the film industry, but it kind of is. But it's Stargate, right? Stargate Pioneer is my name. I know a thing or two about Stargate. Dr. Daniel Jackson was Spader in the film, which did a good Dr. Jackson. And then it was flipped over in the TV universe. Now, originally, he played it to be like Spader. But eventually, he got his own role. But it took years.
Yeah, I did not like Daniel Jackson at first because it was just a really... James Spader impersonation.
Yeah, but after the first 3 years, he really grew into the role and did his own thing.
Yeah, when he started growing into it, that was when I started warming up to the character.
Yeah, one or two seasons before he died the first time.
I love how this is one of those shows where you have to qualify the first time.
In the case of Janet Jackson, yes.
The show did run for 10 years.
And Daniel died like 8 times.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's about that time of the season where Daniel Jackson dies.
And if you watch any of the behind-the-scenes stuff, Michael Shanks did say that originally he tried to do his best James Spader, but that eventually he just got to the point where he had to do his own thing. And I think the character took off at that point in time. And I think shortly after that, he died for the first time. So,
just wanted to say I was looking at my shelf and the 17th season of Stargate and 10th season of Friends takes a shelf.
Okay, so we'll see what happens with RDJ, but I think for now, we've got a good thing going, and let's just keep it going. And we'll see. I keep saying we just don't know what happens in Avengers 2, so we'll see. I know that we've gotten casting for most of the players, so I don't think anybody dies yet, but we'll see.
Ronan will be back.
Yeah,
or not.
Remember when Lee Pace was all, maybe Ronan will come back. I want to come back.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Oh.
That'd be like, what's his name from Iron Man wanting to come back? The warmonger. What was his?
Oh, he could actually come back, I think. He was not dead.
Yeah, well, I thought he was, but you're right. It's comic book dead.
Yeah, technically he's not dead because if not, Tony Stark would be a bad guy.
Didn't he get kind of exploded?
No. Yeah, but you don't want to make Tony Stark the bad guy, so he's alive.
Well, Catherine said she believes that Ronan could still come back. So if Catherine says it, then it's a possibility.
I just don't see what they would do with him if they brought him back.
Yeah.
I know a few things they can do with him.
Yeah, but you can't talk about those on this cast because it's a family-friendly show. Yeah. So he's one, if they ever got the rights back to Fantastic Four, there are a lot of really cool things they could do with him. But as it is, not so much.
So also, James Gunn was clarifying several things from Guardians of the Galaxy, including...
Yeah,
go ahead, Lauren.
So after the movie came out, one of the complaints that a lot of people had was... Well, okay, I'm going to talk about this first and foremost, but there's a lot of other stuff that he talks about in this interview. But the one that caught my attention and a lot of other people's attention was Drax calling Gamora a whore. because the whole thing was like, well, Drax is like a really literal guy. Why the hell would he just call her a whore out of nowhere? I mean, he never saw her having sex for money. It just seems like a really mean-spirited thing to say at this point in the movie. So his whole explanation is that he heard people saying that to her in the kiln. So don't blame him, blame me, because that's what they called her in the kiln, and that's what he thinks she is. Which I think is lazy writing, personally. If you want to do something like that, make it clearer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be the weird opinion, but I thought that joke played. The fact that he used that word.
I laughed because it came out of nowhere, but it did feel, in retrospect, really mean-spirited.
Yeah, but it's funny because it's mean-spirited. And you know he's not mean-spirited. That's why it's funny.
Yeah, but if there had been a reason, a better, more clarified reason for him to call her that, that had been spelled out better in the script.
I see your point. I'm not digging on your point. I'm just saying that for me, I can let one or two slide in a movie if they're well used. And this was not used as an offensive way. This was used as a joke. And I think the joke played. I'll be honest. And maybe I'm an horrible person. Again, the email is nightwing@gunnageek.com. But I thought the joke played. The fact that he had to defend the joke, I find it a little bit extra.
I don't think he'll be making the same mistake in the second one.
I really hope he doesn't.
Yeah. He does also clarify several other things in the article, including Nebula's fate. Yes, she's alive. Did we see Adam Warlock's cocoon? No. So I would encourage you, if you're interested, to go get the article and read everything that Mr. Gunn has said.
He also said in this article at the very end that he has plans for three other movies connected to Guardians if he stays with Marvel's that long.
I'm good with that.
So, yeah.
It's good to have a plan.
Give him more work. The man is good.
Right. And last but not least, you know, Lauren and I talked about this last week and we completely glanced over it, although they're okay. Go ahead, Haley.
Okay, so Funko has a new line of toys coming out for Avengers Age of Ultron, which is awesome. But if you look, you'll notice there might be a character missing. And that character is Black Widow, who's kind of, you know, a major character. Also, the only female character on the team in the first movie. And she's not included.
They did include, if I remember right, I'm trying to look for the story, I can't find it, but there was a smaller like keychain toy with her in it.
Yeah, which is I think why it slipped my mind. They had, when I was talking about it, they have like little keychain versions and stuff like that, and one of them's Black Widow.
Right, but she's not a main
Pop she's
Funko.
Not in the line proper. Which, again, she wasn't in the first Avengers 1 either. She didn't get a figure until the figures for Winter Soldier came out.
But the Iron Man that stands on his repulsor rays is amazing.
Well, yeah. But this is, you know, Disney has had a few of these things in the last couple of years. Like, they didn't have Leia toys with the new Star Wars stuff they put out. They didn't put Gamora on a lot of the Guardians of the Galaxy merchandise.
Right.
And there are a couple of the female characters from Star Wars Rebels that also don't have toys available.
Yeah, it's only now after the show's been out for like months that we're finally starting to see Hera and Sabine stuff from Star Wars Rebels.
Right.
So do you think a lot of these toy manufacturers are from outside the United States? Does that have anything to do with it, maybe? I don't know. I'm just grasping.
I feel like it's a Disney marketing decision.
Yeah, marketing is still centered in the U.S.
It's like they've got a big blue building and a big pink building where they decide to make toys. And they've decided, you know, the Super Stereo stuff is coming out of the blue building, so no girl stuff.
And then the girl stuff is all going to focus on Frozen.
Right.
I've worked in the toy industry for a couple of years, and outside the collector market, the boy market is way bigger on toys. That's usually why they do that. Even if when they produce a female action figure, usually they're going to short pack it at one by case. And like I said, outside of the collector market, it's not a bad business decision. To not produce the toy at all, though, I find it a little bit harsh.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they correct it in some way, shape, or form. And
the Vision has no green. I have a problem with that.
Lauren was saying that she actually kind of enjoyed the...
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys got any other news for the week?
I think that's about it.
All right.
That was a lot of news.
That was this week. But moving on to the feedback, we got a couple of hits this week on Twitter. Mr. Pericletes. Always a joy to hear from him. This was awesome, by the way. He sent us a picture of a raccoon being taken out of some sort of convenience store or something. And the caption is, Rocket's been caught stealing again. And
it looks like, help me, you effing twig.
He's looking like he's flying through the store. It's great.
It's a pretty good picture.
And then Lauren was live tweeting the episode last night, as she always does. It's great to chime in on that if you have a chance. And we had a conversation going on that I just want to go through. Christy at Adonna Girl says, hey, Chris Evans, Howard Stark has some of your blood. And then Tyler at Tyler A. Walton chimed back, Captain America clone in Civil War? Please say yes. And then I believe it's Lauren tweeting as Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. said, be a nice twist on Klor. And then Tyler came back with, I think he's called Ragnarok. But yeah, it would be a little bit more balanced that way. So that was
I will forever and always call him Klor because it's a stupid word for a stupid, stupid thing.
Yeah.
No arguments.
It was a stupid decision on Tony Stark's part.
Yes.
So there you go.
He has those from time to time. Yes.
He really does.
So if you guys are watching Agent Carter live on the East Coast or Central Time, go ahead, chime in. Lauren is having a blast tweeting from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. account.
I really am. And I apologize for the occasional typo. I tweet from my phone. And for some reason, with my new-ish phone, because I've had this for months and you'd think I'd be used to it by now, but the keys don't always work how I want them to, so I type things wrong sometimes.
Yeah, you never know what the autocorrect is going to do to you either, so... Oh,
freaking autocorrect.
Okay, we also got a couple of voicemails this week. One friend of the cast, Willie Nelson, called in. You guys want to hear it?
Yay! Yeah.
Hello, fan and friend of the show, Willie D. Nelson here. First, I am appalled. No, let down. Disappointed. How could you rate Elektra higher than Howard the Duck? It hurts my soul. It hurts and cuts deep. Ugh. I'll let it slide this time. But while we're talking about ratings and movies, Wing was right. Incredible Hulk should be in the top three of all Marvel movies. Thank you. Good night. Good luck. Hope to keep listening to you. See you later.
Thank you, Willie.
Willie, nice to hear from you, but man.
Yeah, I think he's right all over the line. What the hell? I mean, I know that Howard the Duck is really, really bad, but Elektra, come on.
Howard the Duck is so bad that it loops around back again to being good. So I have to agree.
Elektra is just not very good. Howard the Duck is painfully bad. Painfully.
Howard the Duck is so bizarre. Ugh. It's great. I mean, a duck tries to have sex with a human woman.
Just, oh, no. God. Ducks do not have boobs. It is not a thing.
Yeah, oh, come on. They have played that.
It says right there on, you know, restaurant menus, duck breasts.
Yeah, here you go. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. And yes, I agree. Elk should be rated higher on everybody's list. So
No, it shouldn't.
Thank you for vindicating me.
I will say everybody's got their opinion. And I will actually, I mean, they're not bad movies, right? It's not a bad movie. It's just not high on my list. So
yeah, it's just not as good as all the others.
Okay.
It's better. You're right. It's not as good. It's better.
And I actually enjoy, for Haley and Wing here, I actually enjoyed Elektra. I went into it just not expecting much, and I was actually pleasantly surprised. So I guess if you're not steeped in the lore or have seen the movie in the past, you're okay with it. I ran into the same problem with a few other movies, one of which was Starship Troopers. I actually enjoyed that movie.
I like Starship Troopers.
I read the book after, so I was okay with the movie. Yeah.
As long as you don't know anything about the book going into the movie is fine. It's great popcorn sci-fi.
Yeah, I actually don't really like the book that much.
Well, yeah, I didn't either.
It's ridiculous. And then you start watching Clone Wars and you're like, oh, they took a book from Starship Trooper.
And then they made it better because they added clones and aliens.
Yeah, but the start, every show, like, Republic has been blah, 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 blah,
I love the newsreel.
I'm like, okay, this is so...
Would you like to learn more?
Oh, yeah.
I love... Oh, yeah. The best thing, I think, that came out of that movie is that whole, you know, it's afraid thing that Neil Patrick Harris does at the end. That picture, it's like a Persian kitten, but it's one of those, like, it's one of the smoosh face cats, so that its face is like all in a line with its nose and mouth.
Right.
Somebody had clipped out Neil Patrick Harris and put it with his, like, hand on the cat's nose. It's afraid.
Oh, yeah.
Because it looks like the vagina monster there.
And the old Clone Wars series is available on Netflix right now, so.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Fun.
Oh, if I had the time, I'd love it. Okay.
Yeah. What's our next phone call?
Yeah, we also have a last phone call from, I actually don't know who this is. I'm just going to play it. You guys ready?
Ready.
Hey, guys. It's Agent Op. Doing a great job on the cast, as usual. And quick question of this week's episode. First of all, how did Peggy get out of the bathroom? Well, first of all, in the bathroom, you have a red light that allows you to look at film. Where did she get that? Second, how the heck did she get out of the bathroom without exposing the film? Because at that point, it still could be exposed at any moment. So, what? So, anyway, so. Yep, that's pretty much all I got. But it was a great episode, and Luke Cage! Anyway, talk to you later. Bye.
I am never going to live that down, am I?
No, never.
Okay, so she got the red light because she's a super secret spy. That's how she got it.
Well, all you got to do is put like a red film over a relatively dim bulb, right?
Right. And then I think she had the light off in the living room when she opened the bathroom door, didn't she? I don't remember.
Okay, so part of my job is I work in a dark room with the chemical that fluoresces under black light. And whenever it exposes to light, once it's in this state, it can degrade. So whenever I have to like leave the dark room to go do other stuff, what I always do is I put it in a cabinet and then I'll open the door and leave and whatever. So if she has somewhere dark to put it, I mean, maybe that would work. I don't know. It works well enough for what I do.
I figured they just covered the exposure somehow, and that's how.
Yeah, well, if Tony, or not Tony, Howard was still looking at it, so maybe his body was between the light and the film.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You're not going to work.
I never do. That's what my boss says. All right. Any more feedback that you guys want to bring up for the week?
Yes, I have one more feedback. I had the chance to hang out with Neil last weekend, and I just wanted to a big shout out because the whiskey you brought me kept me company during the cast. And it's so
amazing. I'm so jealous.
I just want a personal thank you live because this has been a magnificent bottle. Thank you.
And we're looking forward to hearing more of Neil in the future if we can pry him loose. If you want to hear Neil, he will be on a special cast of Starling Tribune.
We should be out by now.
Oh, that's awesome. I was going to say maybe it'll be out before the one that Haley recorded with us. Well, so we'll see.
Yeah, it's probably going to be out before the Crimson Comet of last week.
No, I recorded an episode of Starling Tribune like a year ago, remember?
He wasn't there.
No, I doubt that was not there.
Oh, well, yeah, he wasn't there, but yeah, I totally did an episode.
Welcome to season two. we all have it. It's all there. So
okay.
Don't worry. It's at some point it's going to be out. We almost lost that one, but we found it back.
We did. That was hectic. We'll have to talk about that one later. All right. So that's it for the feedback for the week. All right. Thank you guys very much. Thank you, Neil and Adam, in the Mixler chat. We do record live on Mixler, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central on Wednesday nights. So go hang out with us at live.legendsofshield.com and you can hear all of the great mistakes that hopefully get edited out in the end. So there you go. Next week, we will be talking Agent Carter season one. I will say season now because I'm led to believe there will be a season two, even though there's not been an announcement yet. But Agent Carter season one, episode 5, The Iron Ceiling.
We are hopeful.
Yes, very hopeful. And then as stated at the beginning of the show, we have a lot of great contact information. LegendsOfShield.com, our voicemail line. You heard two great voicemails this weekend. Apparently, our voicemail is going through some changes, so hopefully quality will end up being better and better as it goes along. Mm-hmm. But our voicemail line is 844-843-2871 or 844-THE-BUS-1. Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube, search for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. You can find us. Also, forums. If you guys want to get into an in-depth discussion with us, go to forums.gunnageek.com and leave your information there. If you're on your mobile device, go to a Tapatalk app and search for Gunna Geek, all one word.
Tapatalk.
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 So, thank you again, all you listeners on Mixler.
Yeah, and thank you to Willie D. Nelson and the operator for calling in and leaving us voicemail feedback. It's nice to hear from our listeners.
And thank you for everybody who's gotten a hold of us on Twitter, anybody who chats with us during the live tweet, anybody who comments after the fact. Andy, thank you very much. I know that being as you do not live in the correct time zone, you can't watch it live, but thank you. We still love hearing your reactions to the episodes.
Yeah, I love reading his tweets like the morning after or whatever. It's great. I'm like, oh, whoa. And matter of fact, Andy is the reason that I go out of my way if I didn't get a chance to watch the episode the night before to watch it before I go to work in the morning so I could actually understand his tweets.
And thank you to all my fans. And if you want to tattoo my face on your leg, I can send you a picture. So that's not a problem. Just send me an email.
Alrighty. And with that, until next week, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Wing.
And I'm going to go take a shower now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Did we make you feel dirty?
Wing's tattoo on my leg? Yeah, that makes me feel a little dirty.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you'll find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.